read, read books, books.
It is Tuesday and time for book picks and our book pick list from our independent bookseller of the week. Kira Weisner of Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook, New York, joins us this morning to present some of the fine authors and books that are making their way to store shelves this season. Kira, good morning. Welcome to the program. Very nice to have you on the show.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, terrific to have you. Thank you for not driving. Okay, so where would you like to begin?
So, you know, last week was the big independent bookseller conference that's held every year. It's called Winter Institute. And so it was in Albuquerque, and it was like a week spent just with booksellers and publishers and authors. And it is such an inspirational time for all of us. So I'm so excited about so many different things. And even though the winter is quiet, you know, we get these titles that are released that are just perfect for this kind of sort of cold bundle up with a book weather. So let's start with a book called The Falconer. It is out today. It is by Dana Chapnick, and it is a really lovely coming of age story of a teenage girl named Lucy in New York City in the early 90s. She is really smart. She's a basketball player, and she navigates her best friendship with a boy, which is like a very nice friendship for her that has tensions at different times. And she is navigating the school and the college scene and also thinking about being the daughter of a mother who has maybe given up a career to kind of sort of be at home. There's a lot of things that are going on that struck really clear notes with me. I was teaching in the early 90s and had a lot of the students who became these high school students that she's writing about, in a sense. I also was a child growing up in New York City. It's almost like a love letter to the Upper West Side in some ways, too, in that time period. But it's a great read for grown-ups, and it's really also one of those books we're calling crossover. So for an older teen reader, it would be a totally appropriate and really, really interesting book.
The name of the book is The Falconers. All right, next up.
All right, so Sally Rooney. I'm a little late to the Sally Rooney party, I think. She has a new book coming out this spring. She has written a book called Conversations with Friends. It was, I think she's 27. She's an Irish novelist. And this is also a book that touches on, I would say, relationships in your 20s. It takes place, you know, not in this country, so it's got a kind of international feel to it. But friendship is friendship all over the world, and crushes and relationships and affairs are all things that we know. And it's a book that's a much more, I want to say, interesting, like this is what you call like a true kind of literary novel. She is telling a story. She's not really in a rush to get there, and she takes her time with what's going on in characters' minds and interpersonal relationships, but really also touches on themes of marriage and family and childbearing and evaluating motherhood. And I really enjoyed it. It was the writing. I settled into this book in a way that I haven't in a while, and I'm also really then looking forward to her next book.
The name of the book is Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney. Next up.
All right. So next up, we have The Lost Girls of Paris. A lot of people come into the bookstore having loved The Nightingale. And so I always look for, like, what's a good historical fiction novel that when people come in and that's kind of their go-to of this is the book I liked, what can you give me next? So The Lost Girls of Paris takes place in New York, England, and France. It covers some time during World War II where English women who were fluent in French and had like native accents, let's say they had like one parent who was a French parent, were drafted to be spies because all the men were getting picked off. And there was a kind of operation that went on that was very secretive and eventually was not successful. And so this book delves a little bit into, you know, what happened to all these girls and how they were ratted out, and also balances the time period. So you have a woman in New York who's found some photographs, and that's what gets her back into it. So you see what's going on in the war, and then you also have a woman who whose husband is, or whose fiance is not alive anymore, who then is dealing with what happens after the war. So you kind of get both perspectives, and this really flows.
It is The Lost Girls of Paris by Pam Genoff. All right,
let's switch to some nonfiction. Danny Shapiro, who is a writer we all, I think, know and love, and who is a little bit local to our area, has written another memoir called Inheritance. And this, I don't know if you've done 23andMe or things like that, but a lot of people, especially for the holidays, seem to have done.
Oh, it's the big, sure.
Right? So like, get your DNA back, and surprise, it's not always what you seem. And Danny has really lovingly gone back into this mystery of figuring out why her DNA result was not what she thought it was going to be. And she uncovers a lot of new information. She goes back and really analyzes her past and understands certain things that were never quite clear to her. And then she also has to really wrestle with things that she thought were clear, like who her father was, and come to terms with what that now is going to mean to her in light of this new information. It makes you think about your own family and family in general, but there's also a really interesting scientific ethical question that I think we're all starting to bring up and talk about. I feel like every advice column in like the ethicist in the New York Times, a lot of people are writing in saying like, I now know about this relative, or I know I have a relative out there. There's a lot that's going to be very different, I think, over the next, 10 years as this becomes the norm.
Indeed.
Going to join us at the Literary Festival in May to talk more about this book, and we're really, really excited about that.
It is Inheritance, and all right, next up.
All right, We Are Here to Stay. This is a book that was, children's stories were written out by a woman named Susan Coughlin. It takes place, it's 9 real, undocumented American teens, or teens who live in America, who are from other countries, and she really hits this, and their photographs. So she hits this amazing point where she tells long stories. Let's say there are maybe 10 or 15 pages, even a little bit longer, devoted to one child's story. And, we pass people in the street all the time, but to imagine that one of these, 15-year-old boys that we walk past has been living in an apartment with a person who keeps telling him he's going to send him to school and has an illegal job at McDonald's because the person took pity on him and let him mop up, and finally then meet somebody who explains that, you can go to school, it's not, you don't have to wait for anything, and to be living in an apartment with someone who's not letting you out except during the day, it's not normal. People don't even... I think it's hard for us to understand what everybody is really going through. And when people leave their country to come here, it's because everything was not great there. And then to come here is a gift, but sometimes does not really end up like that. And so this is something that grown-ups can read and that teens can read. And to have a really first-person account of what people go through is unbelievable.
We Are Here to Stay, Voices of Undocumented Adults. All right, next we go to one by John Kenny.
All right, so John Kenny has a novel out, but he also has this book called Love Poems for Married People. And some of them were in The New Yorker, and we all read them and chuckled. Can I read a little bit of one?
Of course.
All right, so this one's called Mother's Day. I feel like Marie Kondo is hot these days, so I'm going to read it. I didn't know who Marie Kondo was, author of the international bestseller, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. What a funny, funny Mother's Day gift that was. How we should fold clothes with love. How we should only keep things that spark joy. You know what doesn't spark joy for me a lot of times? You. Should I keep you? And it goes on. But but it's what I kind of like is he's equally fair with both sides of the couple, with both couple sides. And... you really have to love someone to read these with you, but my husband and I have been laughing a lot. So,
excellent.
Nice. I want to just talk for 1 second about a book that I have not read yet, that I did not get a copy of before, but that I'm really, really, really excited about. And this is called Black is the Body, Stories from My Grandmother's Time, My Mother's Time, and Mine by Emily Bernard. And Emily is a college professor, and she lives in the South. And this is a series of essays and explorations of being Black. It also talks about her students who she's talked with, and one of the reviews was saying that she goes places where not everybody is comfortable, and really takes the time to stay there. She's married to a white professor. They have adopted twin daughters from Ethiopia. So she's really exploring a lot of different racial interactions in society. And again, they live in the South. I can't wait to read this book. I'm really hoping to be as moved by it as other people seem to be.
It is Black is the Body, Stories from My Grandmother's Time, My Mother's Time, and Mine by Emily Bernard. All right.
All right. Another great Valentine's present that I didn't mention before was this book, a little tiny book called Fox 8, if anyone's explored it, by George Saunders. It's packaged up.
Oh, I love
up.
This. Yes.
It's like my favorite. We have our book club is coming up in 2 weeks on Saturday, February 16th. We're reading The Weight of Ink by Rachel Kadish. There is still time for people to get that and read it, especially since it's so cold and it's fun to cuddle up. And that is, you know, bookstores, winter is always quiet. Everybody should come in. We have puzzles and games and toys and everything to read and write. A lot of people I know have started journaling again. It's a really, really wonderful thing to do when it's all cold. So
all kinds of good stuff. And yes, book club on February 16th. You can find out more about Merit Books and all the great work they do and all the cool things that are there by going to meritbooks.com. Meritbooks.com. Find the list there as well, or find it on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. Kara Wisner, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Be well.
Thank you so much, Joe. Take care.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information about Merit Bookstore by going to their website, meritbooks.com, meritbooks.com, or visit them in Millbrook. And you can find the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, where you can find the list and a copy of this interview. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.